I want to talk about seeing sin as God does. Seeing sin as God does. Now, in my coming up, when you heard sin, it was time to duck and prepare for the altar, because it was Repentance Day. And today is funny, because if you do hear sin, it still runs with that extreme, or you don't hear about sin at all. And some of us who came up in it, we don't really want to hear about it anymore, because we heard a lot. So much so that we would hear about sin. If a message was preached on sin that day, you would get born again. And again. Because it was never any, you know, understanding beyond the fact that if you're sinning, you got problems with God. And of course, there's some truth to that. But today, I wanted to just deal with sin from God's perspective, to help us to see how he sees it, how he views it, how he treats it, and then what we need to know about that, so that we too are able to see it that way and manage it that way and do what we need to do with it. And of course, we don't want to do a whole lot with it in a cooperative fashion, but there's something that we need to do with it. And I'm finding that it's helpful to understand some of these things, just to become a healthy believer, to become a firm, solid Christian, to be one who is able to give an answer to some of these things that are sometimes hidden in our heart because of the nature of it. Nobody wants to talk about sin, because we know what sin is. Amen? But to have an answer, we were meeting with the curriculum team to develop the curriculum for the young people, for the children yesterday. And one of the things that we said we wanted to make sure we did was to equip them with the information of truth that will enable them to stand in any environment, any setting, and have a ready response with truth, and not simply find themselves, as many of us did growing up, and you got to a place where a question was asked about God or the things of God, and you didn't have an answer for it. And so you had an option. Either you could make something up, or you could just spiritualize it, you know, and just tell people, well, you know, I just believe. Well, you need to do more than believe. You need to know. You know. Or many made the adjustment to the point where, I remember growing up, they would say, well, we're not sure if we want you to go to college, because, you know, they teach some things there that have you twisted. By the time you come back, you lose your faith. Well, not if you have truth. If you have a foundation, a solid foundation of truth, that will enable you to stand up and give a ready answer. And so when it comes to the whole idea, the whole concept of sin, I think it's important that we understand what sin is. And I think it's important that we understand how God views sin, because what we've really seen more than anything else is the way man has viewed sin. And it's not always been correct. It's not always been responded to in the right way or treated in the right fashion, whether it was in the individual or as it related to other people. You know, we've seen the signs, particularly the day with the gay and lesbian deal. So you get your Christians who are standing out there with their signs, and they're responding to what they consider to be an abomination and sin. But the way they're responding to it isn't really necessarily the way that God would respond. And so having the right perspective, having a godly perspective, knowing how God treats these things, we'll find that it is a lot different than the way we treat it sometimes. And in fact, what we do when we talk about personal sin, we have a thing where we run and hide from God. Some of us can't pray when we know we're into some stuff, because we don't want to face God with that. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Hello, somebody. Don't y'all get too quiet. I'm not going to get personal. Some people come into a worship setting and are not free to lift their hands and praise God, because they're laboring with the reality of sin in their lives. And so it's important that we understand God's perspective and how it's treated and how it responded to. So some of this will be very fundamental, but I'm also finding in the day that we live in the world that we live in, that Fundamentals are necessary. They need to be visited and revisited. And some of us thought we got fundamentals, but it was fundamentally wrong. And so we need to revisit some things just straight from the Word of God and let it speak to us, and then just believe that we will walk away fuller because of it. Amen? But so let's start with a base definition of sin. It is the transgression of the law of God. Okay? It's a transgression of the law of God. Now, transgression is an act that goes against a law, rule, or code of conduct. It's an offense. Okay? So a sin is an offense, or it is breaking the law of God. Right? Now, we pretty much got that, right? We got that. Okay? But the purpose of the law is interesting in Scripture in that the Ten Commandments is like a summation of the whole of it. Okay, it's like the quick guide, at a glance, the Ten Commandments. But the idea behind God bringing forth and giving the law was to simply reveal to you and me how depraved we are. Without it, we thought we were okay. Most people, if you ask them, if they're a good person and if they think that they're going to heaven, they'll say, absolutely yes. Because I'm a good person. I give to people. I do well with my parents. I do this. I give this. I support that. And they think it's okay. Well, the Lord said, well, here, let me just show you some things that are deeper inside you, below the surface, that's at the core of your being that you just need to see. Now, he didn't just show you that, and here's where religion stops. Religion stops at showing you that, and now you feel bad about it, and so now you spend the rest of your days trying to make good with God so that God will be happy enough to let you come to heaven to live with him eternally. Does that make sense? Does that sound familiar? But that ain't the way it was at all. God was simply saying, let me show you how much you need me, and then I'm going to give you all of me, and I'm going to even pay the price for the sin and the transgression, so then you and I are cool. Now, I just really pretty much preached the whole message. But that's God's perspective on it. It is an offense. It is a law. The Bible says that, in fact, the cost of it, the cost of sin, the penalty for it is death. All right. So we know fundamentally what it's about. Psalm 51:5, real quick. And I'm going to try to squeeze this in. I thought this might be 4 or 5 weeks. Psalm 51:5 says, behold, or pay attention, or observe this truth, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. It's a harsh reality. So you were born in sin. Or another way to put it is you were born a sinner. I believe it was Pastor Sunday that said one day, if you take two bishops, a male bishop and a female bishop, and they get together and have a baby, they will not have bishops. They won't even have Christians. If you take two bishops, Bishop Nolan and Bishop Glory, you're gonna have sinners. Because the sin of Adam and Eve caused sin to travel down through our spiritual DNA. So we're all born messed up, every last one of us. We're all born with this issue of being sinners. And so the first thing is to understand that, okay, so it's inescapable. If you're a human, it's inescapable. So it's not like, well, I can say, well, I'm good, and I was raised in a good family, and mom and daddy taught me. That's not the deal. The deal is we all need him. We were all born sinners. Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every last one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So every human being is affected, infected, impacted, and touched by this thing called sin. And you and I both know it's not a pretty thing. But let's talk about how God sees it. Okay, first of all, when we talk about sin, there is the sin nature. The sin nature. So I'm going to have to slow it down and just teach a little bit. My issue is I want to get all of this out today. And the truth of the matter is it ain't enough time to get it all out today. So we'll get it started. There is the sin nature. You were born with a nature that has a propensity toward doing wrong. You were born, Paul says, it's like, he said, who's going to deliver me from this body, this body of death? Who's going to deliver me? You were born with this thing on you that has more of a desire, listen to me now, more of a desire to do wrong than a desire to do right. In fact, it feels normal. And until someone brings you to a place of kind of explaining and showing you the abnormalcy of a life in sin, you think life is just fine. This is the way people do life. You don't have an idea. Which again is why the law of God was set in place to show people that, wait a minute, no, you're not fine. You've got some issues. Now, nobody wants to face the fact that they've got issues. Anybody want to just say out loud, I got issues? No, nobody wants to say it. Nobody wants to own that. Nobody, in fact, in the parable, Jesus says, you know, here you are considering the speck in your brother's eye. When you're walking around with a plank in your own eye, it's because we don't want to see ourselves in this light. You follow me? But it's easy to look around and see the wrong in everybody else. In fact, it's more desirable and it's a lot more comfortable to look around and see the wrong in other people. So this sin nature, just, you know, makes you want to do wrong. You even see it in babies. You see it in little bitty babies who will go to do something, look back to see if you watch it. And then you can correct them and they find a way to do it in a way that you don't see it. Now, grown-ups do the same thing. We just a little bit more sophisticated. We do. And we come in church and we put the package on and we come and we wear the face and we act like everything is good. Everybody in here has got issues. Say, that would be me. Amen. So there's the sin nature. That is a troublesome situation because you come here with it. And even after you are born again, your soul is saved. You are regenerated, and the Bible says you get a new spirit. Now, Bishop Don explained last week that you need a spirit in order to relate to God. In our design, in our construct, we were created to be able to relate to God through our spirit. But that got corrupted, damaged, and even was made dead by sin. You get it? So you're really born even without that feature. It's when you become born again that you get that feature. But you still have that sin nature that does not, and this is the conflict that a lot of people have, and this is what causes people to call Christians hypocrites. And it caused Christians to do things to try to paint a picture of perfection when the reality is we've got this nature that we struggle with until the end.
All right. That's right.
And so that nature, even though you give your life to Jesus Christ, the nature still sits there trying to ride as though it's in charge. And it's a constant battle. It's a tug of war. It's a fight that this nature wants to show up. You know how you do good for 6 months and something, and then all of a sudden. Yeah, that old nature wants to show up. Now, if you let them, now the old folks said it like this, don't let the devil ride. We're not talking about the devil, we're talking about this nature.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So let's just say, let's not let the nature ride.
Yeah.
Right.
Because if you let the nature ride, then he's gonna wanna drive.
All right.
And so there's a constant process of bringing this nature under subjection. You see, when the Lord gave us, and you guys will connect these dots now. When the Lord said have dominion, when he gave us the command and he gave us the authority, the first point of dominion is you. The first thing that has to be subdued is yourself. You can't subdue anything else until you subdue you. You know what I'm saying? Do you? Subdue you. Just subdue you. See? Because that nature wants to rule your world. The old nature, the person that you were before you came into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and before you accepted what Jesus did to pay the price for the sin. That nature doesn't want to die. That nature wants to keep living and even thriving.
Right.
And it will live and thrive, and then it becomes a problem for not only you, but anybody associated with you, and it can wreak havoc. And instead of producing what God would have had produced out of a life, amen, it keeps producing the nonsense that's of this world. Does it make sense?
Yes.
I'm just talking about sin, because if we wrap our heads around some of this stuff, we won't avoid it. We'll deal with it. And if we learn to deal with it and really put it where it belongs, as God sees it, now you walk in a freedom, you walk in a liberty, and you walk in power. And that's where we've got to go if we're going to really be salt and light in the earth. Amen?
Amen.
So you have the nature. Y'all get that? Y'all understand the nature?
Yeah.
The nature is there's a part of me that wants to do wrong. Come on, say it. There's a part of me,
there's a part of me
that always wants to do wrong.
Always wants to do wrong.
When I should be doing right.
When I should be doing right.
Even when I know better.
See,
you can own that. See, the fear is religion doesn't want you to even see that, let alone own it.
Right.
But you got to see it.
Yeah.
You got to face it. You got to confront it, and you got to own it.
Yeah.
Now, that's the first step to God having the ability to come into the situation. God, he wants to introduce himself to all these scenarios.
Yes,
yeah.
But if you're going to play like it's not there, you know, it's like the pink elephant in the room?
Yeah.
That's sin. You know, we come in, you can come in, And sanitize us for Sunday morning. And we put on our church clothes, we speak our church lingo, we got our church books and all of that, and we greet each other in the name of the Lord, even a holy kiss every now and then. Just sanitize it up, you know, and there's the big pink elephant is still sitting there smiling and posing, trying to get a picture, you know, photobombing you. But to own it, to face it, but you can't own it, you can't face it until you see how God sees it. When you see how God sees it, it's no longer going to serve in that place of intimidation in your life.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
In fact, you can say, you know, yeah, I sin. We're not taught to do that. But if you can say that, and if you can say it in a way that's basically you're confessing it to get it out of darkness, because the enemy loves stuff in the corner in darkness and secrecy. Isolation is the number one tool of destruction for the enemy. If he can get you alone with your thoughts and your sin, he got you.
Yeah.
Wow. Bringing up out there, shine a light on it, he got problems. Y'all with me?
Yes.
Remember, the enemy only manipulates what is. He has no power in and of himself. There's a nature that's in you that he taps. Remember Jesus said, as the enemy came, he said, now the enemy comes, but he has nothing in me. Because Jesus is the only one that didn't have the nature.
Yeah.
He was born without the nature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But even though he was born without the nature, the Bible says, but he was yet tempted in all ways.
Yeah.
But he didn't succumb to it. He wouldn't give in to it. He didn't sin.
Yeah, right.
So the enemy taps into the nature. The enemy is trying to push buttons. You know? You know when you get angry enough to cuss? And some of you cuss. I'm not talking. Yeah, so, Deacon, listen, I'm telling you, it ain't church cuss words either. It's not the safe ones. You know, like hell and damn, they in the Bible. No, they going way past that. I done heard a few of them. So all the enemy want to do is just push buttons. And get you, listen to me now, believers, saints of the Most High God. He wants to bring you down to his level.
Come on.
He wants to bring you down. So he said, well, let me, you know, there's something in you. If I can push that button, I can bring you on down with me. Now we can be two fools together. And that's his objective. Okay. So the sin nature, we got that.
Okay.
We know it's an issue. Good. Let's own that. It's an issue. It's an issue for me. It's an issue for you. There's stuff that, as Paul say, when I would do good, sin, evil's ever present. Thank you.
Yeah.
He said, you know, he said, now with everything in me, I do right. But he said, my heart is there, but then I find myself doing some stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Just own it.
Yeah.
Come on, just own it.
Yeah.
Don't freak out.
Yeah.
And don't leave it there. That's the point. That's the point. Don't leave it right there.
Yeah.
So now you got not only sin nature, but then you have sins, plural.
Yeah.
And if you read scripture, you'll see sometimes there's an S on there and sometimes there's not.
Uh-huh.
When it talks about sin, singular sin is talking about the nature.
Uh-huh.
When you see sins, now you're talking about the practice,
okay,
the behavior, uh-huh, the exercising of it. And then when scripture is dealing with the matter of sins, it will talk about the practice of it, the regularity, the behavior, the pattern. There's a pattern of sin. That's when you have adopted the idea that it's okay to do a certain thing, and instead of you putting up opposition, you just submit to it. You just go with it. You just say, oh, okay, well, you know, the Lord knows my heart. And sometimes we say, well, I just got to be me.
Yeah.
I got to do me. No, you need to subdue you. Not just be you. Subdue you. Oh, I'm preaching today real good. I told you, I ain't got enough time. I'm already in trouble.
It's all right.
So the practice of sins, we gotta look at that, and that's a whole different matter. Because the sin nature is something you were born with. You have nothing to do with that. You just, you know, you it's like being a victim. That's it. You know, you were born with that flaw, with that aberration. That's that. But the sins, the practice of sins, that's something that you have the power to gain the mastery over.
Okay.
Now, you may not master it, and then, of course, with sin, it's funny. It's like peeling back the onion. You master this one, and then another one show up.
Mm-hmm.
You master that one, then another show up.
Yeah.
You master that one, another one show up. And then all of a sudden, the old one that you mastered a long time ago shows up. You're like, now, where you come from? I thought you were dead. No, I wasn't dead.
Right.
Jesus was tempted to say the enemy, he left for a
season.
And then he came back, knocking back at the door.
Uh-huh.
Some stuff will come back to visit with you. You thought you had it, man. It was tight. You had it. You had your mind to do right. I mean, you had eliminated some stuff. You had created settings and moved away from certain people in certain places. But yet, it's amazing how you can be in the middle of nowhere and stuff will come visit with you, because Jesus was in the wilderness now. He was in the wilderness. He had no people around. He had nothing. It was just him and God minding his business. And all of a sudden, hello. Okay. So sin nature, then you have the act of sinning. Now the act of sinning comes from two places. Number one is the result of having this nature. So it's natural as a non-believer. It's abnormal as a believer. And that's why we feel it like a non-believer wouldn't feel it. Because, you know, as a believer, when you sin, that thing, it just, It's like, here's the best way. It's like a baby with poo-poo in their pamper, in their diaper. And they want it off.
Right.
And they squirm.
Yeah.
You know. And they stink. Some of y'all stink.
Yeah.
You're saying they're stinking. Oh, this is a good picture now.
Yes, it is.
But it's the result of having this nature that it occurs. Okay. But then there's another way that we sin, and that's out of choice. Ignorance or rebellion. So you can hear the truth and the truth will make you free. And you can hear the truth and you can say the preacher was talking about me. You can take it and become offended by it because it was said, because you knew you were guilty, and so all of a sudden now you do just like Adam did. And you blame somebody else for the stuff that you got convicted. The Holy Spirit just hit you right between the eyes and say, that's what you've been doing. That's what you do. Now, when he does that, and here's what we're going to get with this. When he does it, though, he's not doing it just to make you feel guilty. Although we do feel guilty. And we sing songs about guilt and shame and being able to bring that and leave it here. And there's a reason why. Because God's never intended to make you feel guilty. It's just that sin is like a cancer. And he said, now look, this will hurt you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that feeling that you get on the inside when you sin, or even when you think about sinning, that's heaven's alarm system.
Okay.
Wow. That's a motion sensor. We got motion sensors. That little white box, that's a motion sensor. If you move, you see that red light come on? It's sensing the heat. It's a motion sensor. It triggers the alarm, and the people who monitor the alarm system, they'll send a note and say, hey, somebody's moving around in there. When you feel what you feel, it's heaven's motion sensor. Right. It's heaven's way of detecting that something ain't quite right here. So come on, let me just tell you so that you can make the adjustment so that you can live the life that I created you to live.
All right.
We ain't got to be afraid of sin. We just got to understand it and put it in the right place. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Because it's a reality. Come on, somebody say, it is a reality.
It is a reality.
So it can be by choice, though. It can be out of rebellion. Now, that's the fool. The fool knows better and just continues in that way. Listen now, and here's the key point, without any resistance. Without any adjustment being made, without trying to do anything different. They just go straight forward into it, say, I'm gonna do me.
Yeah.
I'm not subduing me. Because subduing me, it costs me something. It's not comfortable, it's painful, it's humiliating. I've got to humble myself, I've got to submit to some ways of being. I've got to admit that I need help in that area.
Yeah.
All of that. And some people, as opposed to submitting and saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to make a change. They just keep on doing wrong. And the worst place you can get, and I see this too often, is that you accept that as your reality. You accept some sin as your norm or as your reality. Now, y'all looking at me like nobody does that. You can't just go on and say, well, you know, it's just the way I've been struggling with this all my life.
Yeah.
You know my word to you today? Keep fighting. Yeah. Keep struggling.
Yeah.
You see? The man said, well, how many times should I forgive the guy? I mean, seven times?
Yeah.
Seven times.
And the Lord gave him a mathematical equation that basically said infinitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right.
As many times. Now, how the Lord going to tell somebody to forgive somebody as many times as they ask forgiveness, and they're going to tell you that you can only get forgiven 25 times?
Uh-oh.
So what he's saying and communicating through the parable is, I need you to keep talking to me about that.
Yeah.
I don't need you to hide that.
Yeah.
I don't need you to be afraid of that. I don't need you to allow that to make you feel like you are a second-class citizen in my life, because in my life, you are the apple of my eye.
Yes.
I love hearing from you.
Yes.
That's the way I feel. I feel that way about you on your good day, and I feel that way about you on the bad days. When you up on the mountain and when you're in the valley, I feel the same way. And every time I hear your voice, even when you're telling me one more time, that I need some help.
Yeah.
That's the big one right there. I need some help.
Yeah.
You got to holler out sometimes. I need some help.
Yeah.
Help!
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because sin will get on you and ride you like a horse.
Yes.
I mean, just like you in an amusement park. I mean, you just sit there and going through the motions, just, you know, the merry-go-round and sin on your shoulder. And you come to church, and sin just. You got to dismount that joke and say, wait a minute, you don't have that authority. You might think you do. You might play like you do. You don't have that authority here. Help! Let me talk to God about help! I'm just telling you how he looks at it. So I don't want to be found in the area of rebellion. Now, I know I got the nature now, so that means it's troublesome. It just acts up. It's like that cousin, you know, Pookie Ray. Everything good, the whole family looking all good, folk done got their degrees and working good job, nice house, nice neighborhood, and then he want to come visit. I could call some names, Greg, but you remember we had a family in the neighborhood. Without mentioning any name, but they had one family member that had gone and got the education and moved to Oak Brook. Do you remember that family? Just hold on with me right now. And the first time I ever saw a Mercedes, but in the hood, it was a different family. And I guarantee you, he came to visit them, but they didn't come visit him.
All right. All right.
Two, my God, I can't believe this time. Two views of sin, okay? God's views. Number one, he hates it because it's a violation of his very nature.
All right.
He's righteous and he's sinless. So, you know, to him, it just don't work. It's an offense to him. Mm-hmm. Don't work. So he hates it. He doesn't want to see it. He doesn't want it to be around him. He doesn't allow it. It is nowhere in his sphere. He is not going to allow sin to exist in his presence. Sin in his presence gets annihilated. Sin in his presence is like the stick-up man that comes to your house while you're sitting there with an AK-47. Mm-hmm. He's going to get done.
Yeah.
Y'all get the picture? Okay, that's what God gonna do to sin. That's what the penalty of it is, death.
Yeah.
Right? Now, but he doesn't stop there. Part of the good news is that Jesus took care of that.
Yes, sir.
And that's a big part of the good news.
Yes.
Because Jesus, the Father's fully aware of it. When you come to pray, he can see it, or he knows it's present, but he elects, he chooses not to regard it. And as opposed to see it for what it is, he sees you covered with the blood. So it's like a filter.
Yes.
That's the good news.
Yeah.
He's going to look through the filter and say, well, you know what? I took care of that. Now, this is I shouldn't be so short with that, because that's a big message all by itself. This is about 10, 12 weeks of teaching y'all.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But that's one way. He hates it because it's a violation of his very nature. But number two, it's destructive, it brings death, and grossly diminishes our quality of life. So yes, it's an offense to him. We got that. And there's really nothing you can do about that part. The first view, there's nothing you can do about that, because you have a sin nature, so you sin. And you sin when you don't want to sin. Some sin because they do want to sin. But you sin when you don't want to sin. And so God's got that, and he figured it out. Okay, the only way to fix that is to send Jesus, his son, to pay the price. So Jesus died that instead of you getting annihilated for being in his presence in the way that you really are because of that nature, he said Jesus, who shed his blood and paid the full price for your sin, your past sin, your present sin, and your future sin. And we're talking sin, the nature now, as well as sin, the practices and the behavior. The whole deal got taken care of by Jesus Christ. And that's why when we have praise and worship, if you have that thought right there, you don't need a worship leader. You can just get in your closet and tear some stuff up like my mama used to do. Get that wig going, I mean. Because you're happy when you consider what has been done to you, for you. And here's the deep thing. He did it even before the foundation of the world. So he anticipated it and did something about it. My God, this is good news right here, right here. So he hates it because of violation, but he also hates the fact that it's destructive, that it diminishes our quality of life in him. And that's what sin does, and that's really the piece that I want to hone in on. And I don't know how I got all the way down to 10:24 trying to preach this message. That's crazy because I don't have enough time. He hates sin, but not you.
Glory.
He hates sin, but not you. I'm going to just turn this corner and then let it go. I'm going to turn this corner and let this go. And then we can pick it up next week. Genesis 4:6. Look at this. I want to show you this right here. This stuff will set you free.
All right.
This will make you a new person in God. Genesis 4:6. I want you to see this, man. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry?
Uh-oh.
And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies." Another version says, "is crouching at the door." Mm-hmm. "And it's desirous for you, but you should do what?
Rule.
You should be subduing it."
Mm-hmm.
But look at the revelation here and what the Lord has said to this man. He's basically saying sin is predatory. Sin is a predator. Sin is crouching. You know, you've seen the wildlife shows, and you see the lion, and they move real slow, crouching at the door. A predator wanted to take you captive, wanted to take your life. So there's a whole lot more on this one. I can't fool with this anymore. But we'll pick up. The bottom line is, God wants us to live the abundant life that Jesus came and paid for. But we've got to understand what this thing is and how to deal with it. Amen. God bless y'all.